with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Are you ready, Jordan? Sunday, Super Bowl 55. We got Tampa, KC.
I don't care.
You don't care. All right, that's on Monday. You don't care. I'll ask you on Friday. I want a score. I want who's going to win. I want what you're looking at. Who you think will have the best commercial? All those different things. We'll have fun. I know Rafael Esparza already has Super Bowl prop bets up there. We'll talk with him coming up at 1:15. His thoughts on anything over the weekend here as well. Marlon Favorite is joining us at 2:15. At 2:30, who do we got since the Pels take on the Kings tonight? Jordan at 2:30.
Yeah, we have Kyle Draper, and he is the Sacramento Kings television play-by-play.
Okay, so that is coming up tonight. Pels fans, question of the day is real simple.
Yeah, it's what do you want to see from the New Orleans Pelicans tonight as they take on the Sacramento Kings?
Add this. Can I add this? Can I add this to this?
Absolutely.
How about a comma? Who leads the Pels in scoring tonight?
Ooh.
Who thinks the Pels' leading scorer tonight? Is it down to just basically two players? Yeah. I mean, it's Zion. Right?
I don't even know if we should even be putting that in. That's,
well, yeah. I don't know. Screaming A said that Zion's not doing enough. I want to ask y'all this. What more can Zion do? Legit question. In Stephen A's mind. Defend better? You think playing better defense will be a more of an impact on the Pels? I'm going to ask it this way. How can Zion make a bigger impact on this team? Jordan, you can understand that one, huh? How could he make a bigger impact on this team than what he's currently making? Is it more points? Is it more rebounds? Is it more assists? Is it more deep shot blocks? Defensive rebounds? Like, honestly, I'm not trying to be sarcastic or ugly, but because there's things he can get better at, obviously. And again, he's played 40 games, as Daniel said, but apparently we need to be talking about how he can make a bigger impact.
I said this at the beginning of the season that I want to see him, I don't know, take over a little bit more.
So you want to see him be a finisher?
Yeah, finisher at the basket. I want to see him, you know, kind of go over players. But like we've been seeing for the past couple of weeks, he's been doing those things. So, I mean, I really don't have too much complaint about Zion in his previous play.
Let's not look at it as complaining. Right. Let's look at it as how can he have a bigger – well, I guess we need to define. Let's define bigger impact. Because he's averaging 20 points.
Right.
Is it – now,
I guess it's more on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, I'll start it. You know how? I'm going to go with what the ESPN broadcasters have been saying. When they do these national games, he should be a double-digit rebounder guy every day. What do you think? How about that?
I agree.
I mean, that's a fair thing to kind of want, don't you think?
Same time when you have Adams grab like 20 rebounds
a game.
Well,
again, yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, yeah, I mean, 18 to 20. Now, he's questionable today. We'll see if Steven Adams plays. But, yes, that's a very good point, right? Because that's why you brought him in. Go get the board. Zion, you start off and running. Go get it. You bring up a great point, because that's why we played that. And if you missed it, I'll paraphrase. Stephen A. said that Zion Williamson isn't making a big enough impact. I'm going to not bore you with the, well, it's because it's New Orleans and he should be a Knick stuff. You know where that's coming from. But let's look at that question. What more can he do impact-wise? He's averaging 23.9 points, so he's the team's leading scorer. Right now, like when you pull up the Pelican stats, he's the team's leading scorer. I don't know. Is it rebounds? He averages 7. Do you think he should average 10? Steven Adam averages 9.8, so not even Steven's averaging 10. Would you say he's the team's best rebounder?
Steven Adams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it blocks? Do you think we should see more blocks from Zion? Steals. I'm legitimately trying to think so I can write down on a sheet of paper, these are the things Zion needs to do to have more of an impact for the Pelicans.
I'm
having trouble like writing it down on a sheet of paper so I can start checking boxes off.
It's things in spurts. I'm nitpicking now. It's more like you saw against Houston. There's a guy three times smaller than him and he's driving to the basket. And he just goes right through Zion Williamson's
chest. So I'm
going
to go back
chest.
To what you said, though, originally, then. So you want to see him take over a game more.
Yeah, take, but, you know, because he does it on offense already. There's no question about that. I want to see him be a lockdown defender. And I know it is
in 40 games, though. You want him to be
that's what I was just about to say.
No, 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 I know. I'm not arguing with you.
That's why, that's why I said I'm kind of nitpicking here because that's not like.
But to your point, it could be, say, which, again, while I was going bananas and was texting people left and right, including you on Friday. Because, again, I'm approaching this by what we've seen. Jordan, when Milwaukee was making its comeback. Do you remember one of the things I was texting you? Please, guards, anybody. If there's a P in front of it or an S in front of it. Shooting guard, point guard. Can somebody, even Hubie Brown. Can somebody just get the ball to Zion Williamson? Did you see he stopped the run and he made a couple of big plays and went straight to the basket? Either got fouled an and one or got a bucket, didn't he? Zion. Is that what you're talking about? Because that's something he can do.
Yeah,
and I think
on,
he can
on
do,
offense,
if
I think
you can
do
that
all
with
the
Giannis
time.
And all that, I mean, you can go after Gobert. So, all right, I'm going to write that down. That's a legit.
Well, I think
at times, it doesn't have to be the whole game.
Lackluster on defense, just not being aware
of
who's
behind
you.
But to your point, I think this is
cutting.
A fair box that we can draw next to this line of text that eventually want to see check marks on. At a point in a game, take it over to an extent of this. You can end a route, you know, a run. You can provide a key bucket inside of 2 or a minute that helps seals you the game, right? You got to buck something. You're up 3 or 4. That possession that can help seal it. I'm with you on this, right? Get on the block, throw your hand in the air. Yo, right here. Like, give me the ball and go to it. Okay. That would be an impact. And conversely, when they go to his offensive player on defense, at that point of the game, stop a run or start a run, make a defensive play that can get things going. A LeBron shot block off the rim or something of that nature. And it just takes one play. It doesn't mean that he has to be a lockdown defender for the entire game. That right. One possession. Okay? That's fair. But players have to grow into that, you know, but yeah, okay. But again, we're just saying we don't know when that check needs to happen in that box.
I was in that,
but I'm just trying to come up with boxes,
done,
right?
As what he's done right now at his age. I mean, he's already ahead of so many players.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
That have played before him and right now.
As Daniel Salerson said it, and I'm using his words and his language, it's asinine. I don't know how else you can come up with that phrase of he's not making a big enough impact on this team to win. He's stepping on the court every night, and he's either going to be your leading scorer or second leading scorer. And it goes back to what we were saying. You know, again, Steven doesn't watch the games. The Pelicans are 7-11 because of poor, inconsistent shooting and play from their guards. Period.
And letting games slip away from them.
Because of their guards. Period. Problem is, these national folks just pull up a box score. They pull up. Oh, no, but even, that's why I'm at a loss by this, because even if you do that, he's leading pretty much in every category on the team. You know what I mean? I don't know why I'm still on this, especially since he's blaming Anthony Davis for the Lakers' loss at Detroit. When he didn't play. He's blaming him because he didn't play. He should have played to help LeBron. Oh, the national folks, man. It is pretty incredible, isn't it, when you think about it? I don't know. I'd love to get your opinion, though, Pels fans. How can Zion be more impactful on this team? It's a legit question. Of, like, boxes that eventually we'd like to see him check. As he progresses in his NBA career, 40 games in. But what are ways when you look at, I guess, top players in the NBA, franchise players? What are ways? I think, Jordan, my box that I agree with you on this is make an impact play, an impact series of plays at a certain point in the game to help bring home the W. And that could be, Jordan, go get a rebound. You know, help Steven. Get a key board, get a steal, get an assist, a block shot, lead of a fast break, you know, things of that nature, which I think he does. But to your point, we're talking about when the stuff hits the fan, it's the fourth quarter. Because it'd been Brandon, right? But you see, isn't that part of the issue? Because haven't we been saying, well, Ingram's this team's closer, Ingram's a guy? Well, you think it should be Zion? Here's why I think I would like to see him do that more, Zion. You know why? Because overwhelmingly, the majority of his shots are where?
Inside.
In the paint.
Well, the thing is, the only...
And he's either going to get fouled or he's going to make it. It's a lot better chance of him making a, I don't know, shot off the glass or dunk than a 23, 12, 16-footer.
Ingram's your closer. Well, actually, Ingram is the guy you go to because he can make those mid-range shots over a big defender. He can make those three-point shots, and he can go to the rim.
Zion, what if Zion can catch it 2 feet from the bucket?
Exactly, but at the same time, there's certain situations that only allow you to get up a certain shot that you can take it in the time.
What about the old, you give it to him by the wing, and you do the old look with the arm. They can't see me because it's radio, but what am I doing?
You're waving them out. You're
clearing
out
it out. Everybody get on the right side of the paint. I'm on the left wing.
Just double team
him. What about that?
You can double team him.
Okay. Well, then as he drives and he gets doubled, somebody's going to be open with the catch and shoot, right? Is that
correct,
something that could be an impact play, though?
But then you're not putting the ball in your best player hand.
I agree, but it's forcing the defense to... It's what we kind of said when AD was here, wasn't it? You remember? It was possession after possession after possession. We didn't touch the ball. You remember there were games where he went 4.5 minutes where he didn't touch the ball? You remember that? I remember it. I had ulcers. From trying to watch the games sometimes. You remember? He'd go an entire quarter sometimes. He went like, remember? Went a quarter? Like Anthony Davis hadn't touched it. It's the fourth quarter. It's 2 minutes left. He hadn't touched the ball. I want you to think about that.
Because he was hurt?
No, or... they just didn't pass him the stupid ball. See, I'm getting worked up for nothing. I just, for the life of me, I can't understand it.
Probably because he was just hurt.
No. It was because of... You know what?
Stephen A. said it best himself.
It's because it's New Orleans? Is that what it is?
Take days off in New Orleans, but not in
LA. Is that? No, he didn't take a day off.
The people of New Orleans, hey, you don't have to give them the NBA experience.
I guess we can take a day off. But that's what I'm getting at. Be aggressive. Say, give me the ball. Hand up in the air.
Just do the cheer?
Like Shaq says on NBA, you know, countdown and stuff on TNT. He's like, remember the famous story, we went in the locker room and told Kobe and the rest of his teammates, if you don't give me the ball out of this locker room, I'm going to beat y'all up, each and every player. I don't know. I was just thinking. What else could be impact plays? I don't know. That is strange to me. So Adam Schefter says, look, you're starting to get the different movement of the quarterbacks here. It's not going to be the first. Ian Rappaport, minute 25 here, and we'll go to our break and bring in Raphael. On how that divorce happened and how it was amicable.
It was a wild Saturday night for probably everyone, I would say, in the NFL, considering how many teams were involved in this. You know, and at the start of this, when it became clear that Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions were headed to a pretty amicable divorce, really a totally fine way for a franchise quarterback to part ways with the only organization he's known, you wondered how much interest would they get. There's rarely ever a franchise quarterback in his prime who's available. The answer is a ton. They had several teams offer first round picks or similar value packages on the table, including, of course, the Los Angeles Rams. They had a really strong offer on the table. What ended up being two future first round picks and a third rounder this year. And Jared Goff, by the way, and the Jared Goff piece of this thing is key because, of course, he's considered a little bit of a throw-in here just based on how terrible his contract was, how many guaranteed millions he had. But the Lions wanted Goff. It's not like they just took him on to dump him like the Brock Osweiler deal. They wanted him. So in the end, here's what you got. You got a whole bunch of teams who were involved in this are now still searching for a franchise quarterback. You have the Los Angeles Rams who now think they have a rock star at quarterback. So Sean McVay can work with the Matthew Stafford. And you have the Detroit Lions with a bridge quarterback this year and a ton of first-round picks and capital going forward. A blockbuster trade to shake up a Saturday night.
I think it was a heck of a move by Detroit and one that makes sense. By the way, as we go to break, Jordan, the teams that were interested, that have been reportedly interested among the others, with the names that did come out, the Panthers, which we knew that last week, we talked about it. The Broncos, we would expect. Oh, Jordan, you're Chicago Bears. Imagine that. I'll give you your little tidbit now. You ready for your little tidbit?
I'm ready for the pat on the back.
As we go to break. You ready?
I'm ready.
This is actually real, and I cannot believe it. Who has more wins in the NFL? Deshaun Watson or Mitch Trubisky? Watson, 28 and 25 in his career as a starter. Mitch Trubisky, 29 and 21. Take that for as you were.
Hey.
Sports hangover. I'm not even letting you gloat on
Mitch,
that. No.
Where you at?
You're not calling Mitch Trubisky. Raphael is next on ESPN New Orleans. Deshaun.
Invited to start 2021 right now on the new Toyota of your choice at HOMA's number one dealer, Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Start browsing our online prices at GregLeBlancToyota.com for low online prices. You can get your top dollar trade-in value and low monthly payments with the click of a mouse. It's just that easy. If you're a new or returning customer, our friendly staff at Greg LeBlanc Toyota will make you feel right at home. Remember, when you go to Greg, you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, HOMA's number one new car dealer, GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Rafael Esparza, you didn't show up yesterday to the Royal Rumble party. How are you, sir? Hello, Rafael. How are you?
I am doing well. I am good. How about yourself?
Why weren't you at the Royal Rumble party last night?
Because I have to type all these 897 Super Bowl profits on a Word document and Excel document for mm-hmm. the media. So I have blisters on my fingers.
Yeah, pizza, bourbon, biting dog. Yeah, it was incredible. It was really good. Wait, 897 prop bets?
That's where we're at right now.
I'm trying to think remotely. Do we have a flyover prop bet?
No, but I should think. Oh, yeah, you know, it is outside. I could do a flyover one. Mm-hmm. I have to do will there be a flyover one?
Let's see. What's another one? First person make a field goal. Is that one?
Yeah, we have that one. We have, I actually, late last night when I was watching Aurora, I just finished my cross promotional, cross sports ones, like Kevin Durant points and rebounds versus Darrell Williams rushing yards, for an example, Nico Jokic points and rebounds versus distance of made field goal in the Super Bowl. So there's a whole, you'll be getting that email probably Wednesday, Thursday that you okay. can try to, reason why I can't go to Super Bowl parties because I have to grade most of these tickets when I watch it.
Yikes. All right, we'll do that on Friday. We'll go through all the prop bets for your segment, man. We'll just have fun with it, and we'll go around. We'll pick. We'll see what we can do there. The big news, obviously, this weekend was, and we've been talking about it here a little bit, was Matthew Stafford and golf, the trade with the Lions and the Rams. I'm surprised, obviously, that that happened with golf, but it is what it is, and they're going there. How do you view that move? Who you think won it, or you think it's a mutually beneficial trade for both?
I think it's mutual. I mean, the draft picks that the Lions got, I mean, I think they realized that they weren't winning anytime soon, so why don't you just get those two first-round draft picks in the future? You figure there's hopefully be at least decent ones where you can build. Because let's face it, the Lions don't just need help at quarterback. They need help everywhere. So getting more picks and more first-round picks can only help the Lions. For the Rams, they want to win now. I mean, I think the window of the NFC could be opening. I mean, let's face it, I mean, Aaron Rodgers maybe has two more years. The NFC South may be not as dominant as they were in the past years with the Saints looking for a new quarterback. I mean, Carolina's Carolina. You might have to compete with Tom Brady if he wants to continue playing. So I think the NFC could be very interesting. And I think the Rams are probably, I would think, are probably up there, right? Maybe the top five teams.
I think one of the things that is interesting is how do you take what happened and the terms of this and apply it to, say, Houston and Watson. I've heard and read reports Houston wants four first-round draft picks for him. Do you think that that's a case that's going to happen?
Oh, that's a lot. I don't know. I
that's
mean,
a ton.
For some odd reason, I only see him going one or two spots. I think the Jets is a possible spot, and maybe even staying in Houston, because I think no one's going to, I think, give up four first-rounders for a quarterback. I mean, granted, he's an elite and he's youth, and I think that he can be specialized into a team that will probably benefit them, but four first-rounders is a lot.
Mm-hmm. It is. And who do you think is the next quarterback that that moves? Do you think it's Watson, or do you think some other ones that are announced?
I would not be shocked if Dak Prescott makes some kind of announcement. I still think that these teams are going to be looking now. And now that you can scratch off Rams and Lions, there's still a lot of teams that are looking for a quarterback. And maybe Dallas, that were maybe thought they had a shot at Stanford if Dak left. So I would think if you're Dallas, you need to either lock him up, or if you're Dak Prescott, say, hey, you know what, I'm done, I'm not signing, or trade me or whatever. I still think that that's a possibility, because it's a lot of names. Wentz, Carr, I mean, we said that Matt Ryan could be on that list. Mm-hmm. Are the Saints going to look for a starting quarterback? I mean, Big Benson, he pretty much wants to play. He could play for free if he wants to next year, but I still think Pittsburgh could be looking for a quarterback. So there's a lot of quarterback news that we have not probably broken with.
Haven't addressed it just yet, and we will play it a little bit later. Michael Vick and Jameis Winston had a little discussion, a little interview, about 15 minutes long on this podcast that he had. At the 13-minute mark of it, he mentioned what him and Drew Brees were talking about there at the end of the game when the Saints were knocked out of the playoffs by Tampa. It really does seem to me, especially with these moves and the asking price, it's going to be Jameis, right? I mean, it's going to be Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, two-year deal maybe for Jameis. I'm having trouble envisioning another scenario right now, especially if Stafford was the one that made me the most sense. But his asking price was two ones. I mean, so I just don't see the Saints going in another direction right now. Do you?
No, I don't. Unless for some odd reason they can find some money or find a trade partner or something. But I totally, totally agree with you. I think Jameis is your quarterback, and with a very short lease, and if he messes up, Hill's right there for him. So I think it's going to be a college atmosphere where who's going to have a better preseason that's going to get the ball. I mean, it's going to be – I think that's what we're going to hear all through. If there is preseason, hopefully there is, or if there was preseason or camps, or it's going to feel like a college atmosphere. Who's having a better camp? Who's having better preseason if it gets the start in week one?
So we'll see what takes place, obviously, in the coming weeks and months when, you know, this league year ends. Obviously, got the Super Bowl on Sunday. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that Friday, Rafael. Over in the NBA, I do want to ask you this. I think it's kind of interesting that the Wizards are getting so much play about Bradley Beal. Do you trade him or not? Does that game last night have any bearing? They beat the Nets. They, you know, it looks like Westbrook and Beal are starting to kind of play really well together. Do you think, what is the next big, or is there a big blockbuster trade, you think, coming in the NBA?
I still think the Bulls are probably going to be dangling around their players to see if they can do something with the Knicks tonight. I think your guys is back. I think Ball is pretty much, it's just where he's going, not when he's going. I heard even Golden State now is a rumor for maybe Ball. I think that's probably, I don't want to say the big name, but I think he could be the first name that goes now. I think Ball and maybe J.J. Redick, but it's going to be very interesting to see how those two quickly leave. I think one or both are done here in New Orleans and probably go somewhere else. But it's going to be very interesting to see what teams. I think the Milwaukee Bucks are looking to maybe boost their team, so I look for them to make some trades. I still think it's going to be between Pelicans and the Bulls. I think them two are going to be very, very active for trades.
I just saw this tweet pull up. And this goes back to the NFL here, though. 49ers looking to make a move at quarterback. This reporter, Evan Macy, he's blue check verified, says Kirk Cousins is the name that he's being told with the Vikings there. This is just going to be a wild offseason of quarterbacks just changing uniforms, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be just a whole bunch of just rumors and names and rumors and names. If you're a reporter, you better be 100% sure before you tweet something out saying someone's going to put a jersey to be the starting quarterback for this one, because I think it's going to be a wheeling and dealing where one team maybe thought they had a player and now here comes another team with another draft pick or a second rounder and they steal it. So it would not be shocked if we hear one rumor one morning and in the afternoon it's a totally different team.
This is strictly based off of wrestling and skill. I was just disappointed I only got to see Alexa Bliss for, I don't know, 7 seconds in the Royal Rumble.
I agree. Very upset on that one. Big fan of hers. But Tori Wilson
incredible
was
wrestler.
In there. So,
yes, I know. I really was. Yeah. I mean, we didn't even really see any moves. I mean, we, you know, I mean, I was just disappointed by
it. It was a disappointing Alexa Bliss showing. But, again, I got to see Tori Wilson. That's a little bit about my childhood.
In all honesty, though, you saw the reaction online as well, and especially by Triple H, Bianca winning the Royal Rumble. Kind of seems like it was kind of a special moment for WWE.
Yeah, I mean, they've been grooming her. I mean, she's very athletic. I think it's pretty much going to be her and Sasha Banks probably at WrestleMania, and I would be totally, totally blown away that she is not the next WWE champion now. I think Rhea Ripley will probably go back to Raw, and I think I would not be shocked if she becomes the Raw heavyweight champion.
Edge becomes what the oldest person to win the Royal Rumble and go to WrestleMania. But this company's something else. And I know people that follow a lot closer than me and like have their, you know, attitudes affected by what they see on TV. I watched it last night. It was nothing else to watch. It was entertainment. But they just continue to bring back. Goldberg wrestled last night, man. I mean, it's like then the Edge comes in and wins it. They just cannot get young guys going there. They just keep going to past wrestlers that have wrestled years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's it should be very interesting to see what they come up with. I know Edge is probably in his last leg, so I would not be shocked if this is his last Mania and he'll probably walk off. But, I mean, we've seen it with the new league, the AEW. They brought back Sting. I think he's getting Social Security and an AEW contract. So it doesn't shock me that they bring back these. Because let's face it, a lot of the wrestling dads who are trying to introduce their kids to wrestling, that's their fans of Edge and Goldberg. So it makes kind of a full 360.
All right, you touched on that there were going to be some nice fights over the weekend, especially over there on Fox. What did you think of the fight?
Yeah, Caleb Plant, I mean, he just dominated Truce. I mean, his jab. I gave more credit to Truce for lasting the 12 rounds, just taking a beating, but now it's, I mean, I thought Caleb Plant made his stamp on it and said, hey, you know what? I want to fight Canelo Alvarez after he's done fighting his two fights coming up. So I would not be surprised if Caleb Plant probably fights one more time just to maybe get warmed up. And I would not be shocked if early 2022 we see Caleb Plant versus Canelo Alvarez, because Alvarez has already have a fight coming up in May. So it should be interesting. The guy's just good. I mean, Nashville grown. Now he lives in Vegas. So I can't wait to keep on watching him grow because he's got fast hands. You thought Garcia has fast hands. Mm-hmm. So does Caleb Plant.
Yep, no doubt. All right. As always, man, we appreciate the time. And I'd like to say I'll see you Sunday for Super Bowl Sunday, but you got to work.
Hey, you're more welcome to come to my crib and help me create Super Bowl profits and drink bourbon. So.
Well, you know, I might be able to. Jordan, you're busy. You're not invited. No. Yeah, you can't. Sorry, let me turn your mic.
I'm laughing at you guys. You'll have to work.
Yeah, that's what we do. You know? That's what we do.
Yeah, I mean, I just got to watch
the Watching game. The game is work. Well, that is work. It is
it
work.
Is. It is. Raphael, by the way, if you do want me to come over, I could come over, but my talent fee is going to be a little
pricey.
You
have a talent fee?
Yeah.
You have a talent fee? How much is your talent fee?
Yeah, what is your talent fee? First time hearing about
this. We'll discuss it in further.
So you have it. You don't have one. You're going to make it up.
No, I do have one. Yeah, I just, you know, I don't want to state my business over the air.
Here's something else. At VSI Doc Sports is the way to follow on Twitter, Instagram as well. Raphael puts videos there each and every day. Raphael, we'll talk to you on Friday.
Take it easy, guys. Have a great week.
When we come back, a little interaction that Sharif and Scott Shanley been having on Twitter that I find interesting that I want to bring up. Let's do so. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Want a da-da-da? What do y'all want a da-da-da?
I have not a da with a da-da-da.
We could switch to Progressa da-da.
Oh, yeah?
We could switch to Progressa and za.
Mm-hmm.
We could za and have to buy some za.
Oh, yeah? Let's switch to Progressa to da and get some za with the money we saw.
Yeah!
Now we know we're gonna da-da-da.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. It might just be the most normal thing you da-da-da.
Quote to da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Valentine's Day in the Crescent City. It doesn't get any better than that.
What have you designed for us, Lori?
A beautiful crescent moon with a heart inside for everyone you love.
The moon and back pendant is just $99, and it sparkles with a diamond.
At Ramsey's.com.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
When the veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are they really?
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
Hi, I'm Casey Gisclair.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins. And your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
81003. Again, Pels taking on the Kings. If you'd like to chat about that, feel free. We're going to speak to the Kings play-by-play, Kyle Draper, at 2:30. Marlon Faber at 2:15. The rest of the show is open, but what are your opinions on this? So we can talk a little bit about the Stafford Lions trade. And because, look, Matthew Stafford is a name that was being used and thrown out a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a possible quarterback for the Saints. So, Saints fans, I want to hear from you on what you thought that the Lions got and how it may affect if you think that the Saints could be looking at another quarterback or not and what that price may be and if you're okay with it and what is your expectation price. Lions got two first-round draft picks, a starting quarterback in return, and a third-round pick this year. So I'm looking at this conversation going on with Sharif and Scott Shanley. Sharif from Channel 6 and Scott Shanley, obviously, from the Saints. What was that? What are you pointing at?
No,
I'm confused.
No, I was just saying if anyone wants to chime into this topic.
I did. I said that three times already. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to get your opinion. Thank you for paying attention.
Hey. All right.
I gave out the phone number.
No.
I did. We came back from break.
I think I did. I don't think you did.
I think I did. Either way, Jordan would like me to remind you that you can call in, because I said we have a bunch of open segments other than Marlon and Kyle.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. You're making sure.
I'm just making sure.
You're making sure. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to call in. And Jordan feels like I didn't give that enough. So there we go. But here's a conversation I find interesting. So Scott Shanley tweets, Stafford to the Rams, Goff to the Lions, Watson to ? Cousins talk to the 49ers. The quarterback carousel is just getting started. Hashtag Tom Brady effect. Tampa showed what happens when you get that guy at the position, what the possibilities are. It's an intriguing aspect of this, Jordan. Do you think what happened with the Bucs this year is a reason why so many teams are looking to move on from their quarterback that is a starter to get the guy to Sean McVay this morning? I'm trying to win the Super Bowl, not a trade. I mean, Jared Goff is a starter that brought him to the Super Bowl. They make that move. The 49ers have a starter. They're trying to get that next step guy. Do you think
Saints are that team?
That's what I'm coming up to. Because you want to pat yourself on the back again with literally the most captain obvious article of all time.
Yeah, over on ESPN.
I mean, this is the mother of all Captain Obvious statements.
Super Bowl timelines for all 32 NFL teams who's in the mix, getting closer and years away.
Yep.
Obviously, you know the top contenders, but on the cusp.
On the cusp.
Of contending.
All right.
New Orleans Saints.
Please say this and we'll go to Cajun Goat. Go.
Obviously, the key is identifying the next quarterback.
You know what? I got to tell you,
I said we were a quarterback away from going to the Super Bowl.
You said you wanted to pat yourself on the back because the Saints were a quarterback away.
No.
That is the mother of all Captain Obvious statements.
After we lost to Tampa Bay, you're like, man, really? You think we're just a quarterback away? You were giving me my props off the air.
Cajun Goat, thank you for calling us.
Don't hide behind the mic.
I think it was a brilliant move on the part of the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, because those picks will – get you an offensive line that can block for Goff. And I think Goff is a good quarterback. I think he's got a lot of grief and Sean McVay's getting no grief because of the simple fact that when he went to the Super Bowl, their defense was 20th. So they got there on offense. They got there on Jared Goff's arm. They didn't get there because of their defense were being so great like they supposedly are now. But then I watched that defense get tore apart by Aaron Rodgers. Does Matthew Stafford make him better than Aaron Rodgers tearing him up? No, it doesn't. So I think a lot of it is people keep calling Sean McVay a genius, and the guy's not a genius. Let's see. He's only been in the league as a head coach for how long? Not long, huh, Gus? Maybe 5 years, maybe?
Right.
And because he went to the Super Bowl right away, because people didn't figure out his offense and figure out what he was doing, so he got ahead of the game on that. Now it's time for him to re-innovate, and he hasn't done it. So maybe Jared Goff's numbers go down because McVay didn't re-innovate like Sean Payton does. Sean Payton recreates every year. That's what makes Sean Payton a great coach. They're trying to make this guy out to be a better coach than Sean Payton, which he's not. And so I think, you know, they gave away all their drafts. That's 8 years of no number ones. What's
going
to happen? That offensive line is not new. That offensive line for the Rams is not new. It couldn't block for Jared Goff. He got a broken thumb because it couldn't block for him. You think that's going to help Matthew Stafford? No, it's not. That's not a good place for him. The Saints could have been a good place, but I'd rather have Winston myself, but that's just me. And that's about on that trade. That's all I got to say on that. Mm-hmm. Now, I really want to get to the Pelicans.
Okay.
Did you hear what David Griffin said the other night about Kyra?
I did.
He said he'd rather him have a red shirt freshman year than to play. But yet this kid gets on the floor the same night and shows you that he can play. He shows you that he can run the offense. He had starters. He was playing against starters out on the floor for the Houston Rockets, and he was playing well. I'm starting to think David Griffin may be the problem. Gus, let me ask you a question. You answer this question for me. What roster would you take as a coach? Would you take the Pelicans roster or the Grizzlies roster?
Okay, I'm still going with the Pelicans roster.
Wouldn't you say that the Pelicans roster is more talented, talent wise?
I do.
Than the Grizzlies roster.
I do.
Who has the better record?
Yeah, I know. But again, look here.
And it's a young team.
What I also found interesting in that conversation, because Stan Van Gundy was also asked after the game about it, about Kyra, and Griffin in that same interview said, but the coaching staff's chomping at the bit to get him in. I think the plan early in the plan was at the time of drafting to slowly bring him along, and then he was going to be the point guard of the future, but I guess they didn't envision him getting it this year. I think what Griff was trying to say is that was our plan, but like, and other plans and other sports or other teams, sometimes they don't go according to plan. And the fact that maybe he is picking it up quicker and could be a need, that they're trying to figure out a way to get him on the floor. So I did hear that part of it as well. And I think that's what he was trying to say. I think Cajun Goat, it's still a little early to start saying whether or not all these moves work or not. It's part of the reason, though, why I keep saying I'd like to see him and all that, and why you're seeing this team trying to maybe move J.J. Redick, maybe trying to move Lonzo Ball, is to create that so you can see if these guys are part of the future and start building in that aspect of it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And I don't know if we made the right coaching decisions yet. Like I said, if you're looking at the rosters and the talent that has been formed on this team compared to the people that are ahead of you, you are second to last in the West. And there's about six teams to seven teams above you that you have a more talented roster than. There is no reason you should be second to last in the West. That goes to coaching and management. I'm going to let you go, Gus.
All right, thank you. KG Go, appreciate the phone call, 800-998-1003.
I think you have to look at it this way. I mean, it's just been a little over a year since David Griffin has even come into the New Orleans Pelicans role. And now you have your new coach in Stan Van Gundy, and all these different kind of characters have to come together. And it's not like this organization was at its top tier before all these things started coming together. I mean, you have a lot of new pieces, and those things take time. So I understand where the frustration comes from a fan side of things. But if you're looking at it, I mean, things don't, you know, happen overnight. Sure, you can look at what LeBron does, but I mean, that's a rare scenario unless you have those players where they come in and they can bring these superstar talents. I mean, you're not going to be winning in a little over a year. I mean, these things take time to grow. And as you saw with the New Orleans Saints, yeah, they went to the NFC Championship game, what, their first year, with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, but it took them a little bit more time for them to get into that Super Bowl and into that consistent run that you've seen the past couple of years. So, I mean, everything takes time, and I'm not too worried about it, and I think we need to kind of hold our horses here with, you know, putting David Griffin on the chop block, because I don't think that's the time for it.
Josh, thanks for calling the show. What you got for us, man?
Thanks for taking my call, Gus. I think the Rams won the trade. I really do. I think that the Rams have more playoff wins than the Saints in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they haven't had a first-round pick in the last four, but they have 16 starters that they've drafted from the third round and back. And I think they got a defense that's a top-five defense. And I like how they make bad contract decisions, but they don't stay on them. They get rid of them. And I understand they're paying all this extra money to Gurley and Goff and even Brandon Cooks still. But they're making moves, and I appreciate that. They're in it for the next 2 years, and guess what? If they stink, they're going to drop down far. It's almost the opposite of what the Saints did. I mean, the Rams know they have a great roster, and yes, Cajun Goat said about how they had the 20th-ranked offense when they played us in the NFC Championship game. They had Todd Gurley as well that year. They had a great running game. Cam Akers is on a rookie contract, and last time I checked, Matthew Stafford hasn't had a running game his entire career. So they're making moves. I appreciate it. But, I mean, first-round picks, I mean, what are they? You know, I'd say a third of them hit. So I don't know why. It's funny to see Saints fans call out McVay, and he's not a good coach. I mean, he has the fourth most wins in the last 4 years, and he has more playoff wins than Sean Payton in the last 4 years. It's production. I mean, what do you value, regular season wins or playoff pushes? And I think the Rams killed it on this trade. I really do.
Hopefully, Jordan was listening to that because he doesn't buy into Sean McVay.
I really don't. I'm sorry. I don't buy into anything that he's done.
Well, I mean, you don't buy into it, but he has the fourth most wins since he started coaching. So, and as a Saints fan, we do value regular season wins so much because that's what we do here. We just don't have playoff wins. I mean, how can you say you don't buy into him? Over the last almost half decade, he has the fourth most wins.
I will agree with you that whenever regular season is here for the New Orleans Saints, I feel like we brag about them a little bit too much, and then that kind of comes back around and bites us in the butt during the playoffs.
Much.
So I would like to see this next season some of the Saints players kind of tone it down if they do sweep, you know, the NFC South, or they do sweep a team, because usually all that talk comes back around and you really have nothing back up to say instead of saying, well, we'll come back next year even stronger.
You want to tone it down, huh?
The past four seasons, it's been the same thing. We're going to come back stronger each year, and every year you haven't.
Well, when you make draft picks, and, you know, if you look back the last 25 years, the Saints had the most money paid to 30-year-olds or older since the 98 Broncos. We basically drafted the last two seasons to keep Breeze upright. We got McCoy and Ruiz. We passed on DK Metcalf, A.J. Brown, Patrick Queen. I mean, we're talking about quarterback situations. I mean, elite wide receivers on rookie contracts would have been nice. And I do agree with you, Jordan. Regular season wins, they're great. But we wasted the last two seasons with Breeze. I understand his legacy was great, but that's why I like the Rams' move. Les Snead gave this dude all this money. After two seasons, realized, okay, he's not what we thought he was, and he's moving on. I appreciate making moves compared to sitting on bad contracts. Michael Thomas. Who dat? Have a good one.
There he goes. Josh, when we come back, I'll play Lindsay Teary. He's the Rams reporter. And it's kind of along the lines of what you're saying, that the Rams view this very simply as we go to break. They want to maximize, and you don't ever really hear this. It's normally you want to maximize the Super Bowl window around your quarterback. They wanted to maximize it around Aaron Donald and the defense. We'll play that, and we'll continue our discussion. 800-998-1003. Great phone calls. Chime in. I love all the different opinions. Let's do so. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Join us for our President's Day event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. You can get a great deal on a Ram today. Check out all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram trucker van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
This is Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
When you get past the legends, take Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and people like that out of the conversation. When you get to the quarterbacks who you can build around and say, this is going to be my guy for a decade, there's only one player I take ahead of Deshaun Watson, and that's Patrick Mahomes. And that's close. That's closer, I think, than most anyone else would expect it to be. If Deshaun Watson had been drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, if Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy had been coaching him since he came into the league, if he had Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and all these other guys around him, and that great coaching and that great system and that great team, he would be right now what we're calling Patrick Mahomes, which is the guy who might wind up being the greatest of all time. That's how good Deshaun is. So Josh Allen is awesome. I would rather have Deshaun.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. And watch exclusively on ESPN Plus.
The new year is here. Aside from thankfully saying goodbye to 2020, it's time to say goodbye to the old you as well. Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell from Men's Total Health. Last year, did you notice any physical changes in you? Reduced energy or libido, increased body fat, ED, brain fog? You know, it could be low T. If you're suffering from low T, you don't have to accept it. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
800-998-1003. Buddy, back in the Royal Studios. We'll take your phone calls. Tell them hi when you give us a buzz. Jordan Kleber, Gus Kattiger with you here. It's the Sports Hangover. It's Monday, February 1st. Say this month for me. Say it.
February.
Nope, it's February.
Nope, it's February.
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 There's an R in there.
The R silent.
You are in broadcasting, right?
I am.
Okay, just making sure. So you're just going to announce, say words the way you want them to.
If the majority of the people can.
No. So you're just, I'm just saying. So you're choosing to say it wrongly.
Whatever the people
okay.
want.
Okay.
I told you, I'm man of the people.
Man of the people. ESPN's reporter that covers the Rams, Mike Triplett's version over there in L.A. Lindsay?
As great as Aaron Donald is, and he seems to be getting better with age at some point, he is 30, he's seven seasons in. At some point, he's going to start going down the hill a little bit. So this is something they've identified again as a Super Bowl window, which is interesting because that's what we said 2018 when they made all those wild changes to go for the Super Bowl. They still have an opportunity with that defense. Obviously, it was the number one defense in the league last season. You bring back Aaron Donald, you bring back Jalen Ramsey, they're going to probably lose a few key pieces in free agency, like their pass rusher Leonard Floyd with the dropping salary cap, but this defense is definitely a unit they want to try and capitalize on.
So again, winning now, right? Winning now. Where did it go wrong with Jared Goff for McVay?
I think that we first were clued in out here in L.A. week 12 against the 49ers when Sean McVay, for the first time ever, publicly called out Goff after he turned the ball over three times in that loss. But even going further down the timeline, you couldn't help but really take notice when the Rams go into the wild card playoff at Seattle and Jared Goff insists that he's fine. It's only 12 days after thumb surgery, but that's why he had the thumb surgery. He insists he's fine, insists he can play. And Sean McVay nevertheless says, nope, we're starting backup John Wolford in a playoff game in Seattle. So that really was the point when you looked back and said, wow, something's amiss here. Because when your franchise quarterback, even if he's not 100%, is saying that he can go out there and play and you're opting to go for an undrafted free agent who's played in one NFL game, that's an issue.
Yeah. That's no doubt. Back to the conversation I said that was interesting to me that Scott Shanley's having on Twitter and Sharif Eishak from Channel 6 was going back and forth with him. I left you off with this with Scott Shanley. He said the Tom Brady effect. Tampa showed what happens when you get that guy at the position for what the possibilities are. Sharif responds, I still think there's something we don't know about for the Saints at quarterback, something out of nowhere. Scott, I agree, Sharif. It's far from done. Teams needing quarterbacks like Washington, Denver, San Francisco, Jordan, Chicago, Indianapolis, New England, etc., will drive the market up for Jameis. Will be interesting, but I would imagine Jameis gets a nice offer from someone, and that would create some sense of panic force. What do you think happens? Gut reaction? That's what Sharif asks Scott Shanley. He responds, highest likelihood is a year with Taysom as the starter. He's under contract, so the only certainty, that's his gut feeling. Not sure how much the cap will hinder their true desire for something different for 2021 at least. So we just had a caller, Jordan, say he appreciates the Rams saying, you know what, it is win now. It's all about now. We'll worry about future seasons later. Because I said earlier in the show, I can't imagine the way the Saints fans would react or people here that cover the team if they literally would have not had a first-round draft pick since 2016, which was Jared Goff, and won't have another one until 2024. As of now, that's if they don't even make any more moves. Again, building it differently. Sean McVay, today, it's about winning Super Bowls, not trades. So they're looking at it from the mindset of, I want that player. That player can come in and help us now. What does it cost us? It doesn't matter. I don't know if that's the right thing to do to get you one Super Bowl. This is just my opinion, and I'll take your opinions on it. I would rather be a consistent playoff team year in and year out. Now, you were just having this discussion with this caller that regular season wins doesn't mean anything. I understand part of that. But you can't get in the playoffs if you don't win regular season games. You can't be in a position to host playoff games if you don't win regular season games. you have to win 12, 13 wins in order to host and put yourself in a better situation for, wait for it, postseason games. If you don't win enough games in a regular season, see the Falcons, see the Panthers, see the Bucks before Tom Brady, Jordan, you don't play in postseason games.
What did the Bucks do this year?
Okay,
though?
I understand. Well, they went and got a player to make that next step.
I understand, but okay. I mean, it wasn't like the regular season was the end all be all. Like it almost.
I don't understand
how
you can make that
Saints.
Statement. You have to win in the regular season.
I know you have to win in the regular season.
You don't get in.
I know you have to win
the
regular
postseason.
Season. But I feel like the past couple of years, we looked at more. It was more of an accomplishment for the Saints to win regular season games and when.
Who says that? The right phrase would be they just had postseason failures and didn't win in the postseason. They just haven't put it together in the postseason. They haven't. That's a fair statement. But I don't think they're sitting there going, man, we're just, you know what, man. Our you know what doesn't stink in the regular season. They don't. Look at it and say that doesn't matter in the postseason. Now, I think, well, again, that could be a storyline this offseason. A very fair question to the members that do come back that have been on this team. You could make the statement in question, right? Come OTAs. Is this team, is this organization, Sean Payton asked the question, is this point of the, you know, are we at where, hey, why can't you be a better postseason team? Again, though, like everyone question. Will bring it up, though, okay? Only one team wins it. Only one team wins it. Believe me, there are a lot of teams that want to be in the postseason every year, year in and year out. You just told somebody you got to wait a little bit, cage and go on the Pels.
Wait, no. We're not comparing the Saints. The Saints, I'm this has saying. Been since 06 that...
So
the Pelicans and the David Griffin era has started just last year.
I understand.
This whole era with
Sean Payton
and everybody
and
that
Drew
they
Brees.
Had and Drew Brees.
Okay.
This is all
we have like 30 seconds. We have 30 seconds before the top of the hour, and it will come to Jack when we come out of the break. If Drew retires today and tomorrow we do the show on his retirement, are you viewing his time here as a success or failure?
No, you see, we always go over this.
No.
It's Sean Payton's time here right now,
to this day. February 1st, 2021.
It's a success, but it's disappointing. It's a disappointment.
So a successful tenure with disappointments, though.
Yes.
I can't disagree with that.
But it's surely not a failure. I made that mistake once on the show by accidentally saying it was a failure. It was not a failure. Okay. It's been successful.
But you cannot not say it hasn't been disappointing.
Very disappointing.
You know? And the reason I feel that is because they weren't just beat. Does that make sense? Like, the Saints just haven't performed well. It's different, like I said, if a couple of Sundays ago it had been a back and forth. Drew plays well. It's not the four picks. And, you know, four turnovers or whatever it was. And then, you know, Brady just makes the play. In the fourth quarter. The Vikings loss. That's hard for
won
me.
That game.
Yeah, exactly.
You gave Tampa this year the game. You know? You handed them on a silver platter that game.
We come back, Jack. We'll take your phone call. 800-998-1003. Some more on this trade and how it affects the Saints. Let's approach this next segment, too. What if the team makes a big offer for Jameis Winston? Is Mac Jones an option? I'll explain next on ESPN New Orleans.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway.